Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And welcome. We've made it to the middle of the week. A lot to do today. Thanks for joining us on 420. You know we're going to be high throughout this program. Good afternoon. Welcome in. Let's get going right now and talk about what is on the minds of everyone. And that's the college football season. One of our guests will be joining us in a few minutes. He ranked the SEC East QBs. And who does he have at the top? How about Hendon Hooker, Spencer Rattler, Stetson Bennett, Levis, AR-15, Brady Cook. How about that name? And Mike Wright. That's according to John Adams of the Knoxville News Sentinel. Lane Kiffin, he has a game this weekend. And will this be the biggest test of Lane Kiffin's head coaching career to date, according to an article? New quarterback, new DC, new Kiffin. Lincoln's still talking about himself. What is surprising about that? Sometimes life throws you a curveball. As much as my family and I love Norman and cherish the success, I'm already seeing the BS coming out of this quote, the success we were having on the field, sometimes life throws you curveballs at the most unexpected times. Honestly, I always figured I would end my coaching career at OU, but when my agent, blame it on the agent, called to pass along interest in USC, I was immediately intrigued by the possibilities. Forget the fact that he was already negotiating with LSU and who knows who else. Lincoln Riley, do not expect anyone in America to believe that horse, that horse trapple. Oscar Tshiebwe announced today that he is coming back for another year. What about it, Oscar?
I'm a person who I don't make a decision based on what I think is good for me. So I think most of the time I pray for it and I ask God what it is good for me I can do. So we've been in fasting and prayer with my family, my mom, everybody, to try to ask God for a decision to help us. So I ask God, you have brought me, I became the National Player of the Year, I became everywhere, but why my name is not in the first round? I always wanted to be a lottery pick, top 10, top 15, but I asked God, so why I'm not there yet? So God has told me he's not done with me yet, so I decide, and he told me like he will want me to go back and just to work because he's not done with me in this place yet. So I'll be back again. So I'll be here next year for Kentucky. I'll be in the blue in Kentucky next year again.
More NIL news. A three-star defensive tackle worth a half a million, a four-star worth a million. Sounds good to me. The sticker shock of college football recruiting, according to The Athletic. John Quincy Adams will join us here in a few minutes. Jay Billis on Tshiebwe and NIL. Candace Story Lee on some big announcements at Vanderbilt. She is the athletic director. Ross Dellinger and Stuart Mandel. And your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We begin with Sky Walker. Go right ahead.
Happy Feinbaum 420, Dr. Paul. In honor of everyone being chill today on 420, I'd like to propose a friendly 420 phone-a-feud with the inaugural match between Cat Daddy and Miss Faye. And do you like Mater Pies, Paul?
What?
There's this place down here in Dolphin Island that makes bacon Mater Pies so good. I composed the Bacon Mater Pie song.
What's a Mater Pie?
Here it goes. Bacon Mater Pie, Bacon Mater Pie. Ain't nothing better than...
Apparently he is taking the holiday too seriously. John is up next. Hello, John.
Hey, Paul. Happy hump day, or is it hemp day? I didn't hear that right.
That guy was one toke over the line, if you ask me.
Hey, I've got an NIL question, but I have to tell you, yesterday's show was very entertaining. My daughter comes by Tuesday and Thursday, and she said, "Did you hear Amy?" And I said, "Yeah."
Oh, man.
She moved smoothly more from Peter to an acronym for Richard, and she was in and out before you knew what happened.
Yeah, she I got snookered on that one. And so did Dabo.
Yeah, and then the fashion critic Cat Daddy turned your finely tailored blue pinstripe suit known as the Don or Mafia Don attire into a burial outfit.
And I want you to know, John, that right before I came in today, I stopped by the Goodwill drop off, and that suit now sleeps with the fishes.
I know. And Jim's evil twin returned.
They wrote me a receipt for the value of it. So the guy said, "Well, I'll be generous. You seem like a nice guy. I'll go $25.
Buy you a cup of coffee." And then Jim's evil twin returned after having what I thought was a really respectful, nice call with the Archbishop last Friday.
And I want to say this about Jim, and I think I got a little bit taken away with one of the other callers, but I'm glad Jim did call in at the end of the show, because it was only right that I expressed to him what the Archbishop told me, and the Archbishop was sincere about the conversation.
As was Jim in his conversation with him. Yeah, I agree. And, you know, if he practiced the Bible and turned the cheek every time someone takes a poke at him, he wouldn't be the show's Panada. It, you know, that's just my feeling on Jim.
Well.
And by the way, thank you for making that last offer Good Friday so special with the Archbishop.
Thank you very, very much, John. You be well. You take care of yourself. Mac is up next in Baltimore. Hello, Mac.
Hey, Paul. Happy Wednesday. Hope you're doing well today.
We are. Thank you.
I know that you got Jay Billis coming on, so I was hoping if you could ask him, you know, Shoebury returning, Kentucky fans got to be excited. He's a returning National Player of the Year. But in recent history, most teams that make a deep run or and even win the national championship are not revolved around a stud center or big man.
Right.
In my opinion, I think that this commitment really just means that Kentucky isn't winning the national championship next year. They'll have a good year, could repeat as SEC Player of the Year, but, you know, kiss the tournament goodbye. You can't win with him.
Yeah, I'm really glad he's coming back. He seemed very sincere in what he said. There's a lot of speculation in the Bluegrass tonight that he is going to profit from it, and why not? He deserves it. He is the real deal. But you know, Shoebury coming back is not going to get Kentucky to the Final Four. They need a lot more than that.
I think that him coming back means that 100% they aren't. You know, regardless.
Yeah,
of what
yeah,
they
I can't make that statement. Them. I mean, I could probably say you're right based on Kentucky's track record in recent years. And we'll talk to Jay. He knows a lot more about it than I do. Let's. John Adams is coming up in a minute. John Q. Adams will join us talking about Hendon Hooker. Speaking about stars in East Tennessee, John will join us shortly.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. It's great to have all of you here. It's even better to have John Adams back on the program, the longtime writer and commentator from Knoxville. We showed a graphic earlier of a piece John did on the best quarterbacks in the SEC East. John, good afternoon. It's always good to have you. And we're curious how you derived this list, starting with Hendon and Hooker. What was your formula, Professor John?
Paul, you know me long enough to know there's no formula. It's more quipping from the hip. I think the SEC East is in pretty good shape at quarterback, and that's obviously a good thing because it's a quarterback-driven sport now. Really do like Hendon Hooker. He's a great fit for Tennessee's offense. Some people, I think, would put Spencer Rattler in South Carolina ahead of him, transfer from Oklahoma. But to me, Hooker's running ability just makes him more of a threat. So I do really like Hendon Hooker. And as you go back to last year, as you remember, Josh Heupel didn't even think Hendon Hooker would be a starting quarterback. He thought it would be Joe Milton. And by the second game, Hendon Hooker came in too late to win the Pittsburgh game, but really I think saved the season by the way he fit into that offense.
And John, I always like it when people in our profession, we make opinions and somebody will write you or email you or call us and say, hey, what do you guys know? I'm going to trust the coach. We've seen this a million times where there's nobody better at quarterback than at evaluating quarterback than Josh Heupel. I'm not saying he missed on Hendon Hooker, but yeah, I'm still trying to figure out what he saw in the other guy. What do you think he saw?
Well, he's in the aftermath of the season. He went on record about this, and he thought that in preseason camp, Hendon Hooker was pressing too much. And then once he didn't win the job, it took the pressure off.
Okay.
That's his way of explaining it. I don't know. But when I watched Joe Milton play and I watched Hendon Hooker play, we're talking about quarterbacks from completely different planets. So I'm still mystified that he would. But I wasn't at practice, so I don't know. And Paul, you make a good point there because, of course, Tom Brady is the greatest example of this, the greatest of all time at quarterback. And yet, look where he was drafted in the sixth round. So the experts can't always figure this out. But I think Josh Heupel is really happy that he has Hendon Hooker as his quarterback, even though he didn't begin last season with him as a starter.
And, John, on the prospects of this fall, and knowing now what we do, especially with 1 year under Heupel, what's realistic for the Volunteers?
Well, I think a 9-win season would be. I think that's realistic. And I've mentioned this to you before, Paul, but I think Heupel's offense against an average or worse defense is just a mismatch. I mean, if you've got Alabama and Georgia-like talent, yeah, you can handle all this up-tempo stuff and you can make plays and slow down that offense. But But my experience just going through one season, if you've just got an okay defense, mediocre or not so good, you're going to have a hard time stopping his offense. He reminds me, and you know this as well as anybody, when Steve Spurrier was at Florida, one of the greatest coaches of all time, and one of the best things I thought Spurrier did was find mismatches in the secondary, and he'd go after somebody. And I, going back to that fun-and-gun offense he ran in Florida, it seemed as though there was always a receiver wide open. And it was like, how can this guy be that open? And sometimes it would be two guys. And I attributed that to Spurrier's ability to see things on the field and to know how the defensive backs would react. I think Heupel's got some of that in him. Of course, I'm not saying he's in Spurrier's class as a coach, but I'm just saying in that particular skill, I think he's really adept at it. And there were a lot of games last season and a lot of plays where receivers weren't just a little bit open. They were wide open.
John Adams with us talking about the Tennessee Vols. John, I hate to break up a party here by asking you a serious question about the past, but did you have any better understanding or idea where the NCAA is on this Jeremy Pruitt situation?
I've never really understood where the NCAA is on any situation. It's kind of like the targeting rule. I mean, you watch a game and you think, was that targeting? I don't know. That looks exactly like targeting, but it wasn't called. And sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. It's very random, and I think that's the way the NCAA has been in a lot of stuff, and it just drags on interminably. And the NCAA, Mark Emmert has talked about this. He wants to clean this up, so to speak, wants to expedite the process, and he doesn't want to punish school coaches and players who weren't there when the transgressions occurred. And that, because of that, I really don't think Tennessee's going to get hit hard with penalties, because it cleaned house pretty much with staff. And Jeremy Pruitt was the head honcho of all this, and he was gone immediately. And Tennessee has been very open about what transpired and about what that staff did. I would be really surprised, but saying that, though, I've been really surprised by what the NCAA has decided in a lot of cases. I mean, what's your take on it?
John, I agree with you. I mean, it's just, you know, there's almost no chance of a program doing something today getting in trouble in the future with the NCAA. But it seems as if Tennessee has done – is the model university for how to do it the right way. I was up there, October, and had a conversation with the chancellor, Chancellor Plowman, who was front and center, as you know, in this investigation. And I don't know, I don't know a college leader who could do more to try to bare the university's soul to the NCAA than she did. And if that is not rewarded, it will be a travesty.
Well, Paul, you know Tennessee's history and how it's been damaged by inadequate leadership, sometimes grossly incompetent leadership. And I'm not just talking about coaches, but above coaches. And that's why I think Donnie Plowman has done such a great job. Part of that is the bar was set so low. But she was very candid about this, about what the investigation, the university's self-investigation of the program. She was very candid about it. She didn't pull any punches, and she received a lot of criticism for that. Not from me, but she did receive a lot from other people about she shouldn't have said all that. She's giving the NCAA cause to really slam Tennessee. But I didn't see it that way. I just thought she did as well as you could in that situation. I don't think she could have done any better.
John, before you go, is Tony Vitello out of the doghouse after the incident over the weekend? I mean, they're the number one team in the country, and just when things were rolling along, he gets jacked for a couple of games.
Four, actually, but Tony Vitello right now, he's he can, even when he does something wrong in some people's eyes, he's done no wrong. and you got to look at the big picture here. For what all that he bumped an umpire, Tennessee lost the first game to Alabama, but Tennessee's still number one. And this team has such an attitude. He reminds me a little, I hate to just beat the Spurrier drum again, but he reminds me a little bit of Steve Spurrier, and his players kind of act the way Spurrier's players were. After Tennessee lost the first game of that series to Alabama, and Alabama celebrated as though it won the College World Series, one of Tennessee's relief pitchers said, well, there won't be any more celebrations. I mean, these guys will say what's on their mind, and Tony Vitello says that, what's on his mind, and maybe did a little more than he should have last week. But I can't remember an SEC team in baseball that's been as exciting as this one. Maybe some of Skip Bertman's great teams at LSU.
Well, that's a name that resonates throughout history. John, it's always good to see you. Thanks for giving us some appetizers today to chew on. We'll see you soon. It's always great to have you on.
Thanks, Paul.
The one and only John Adams joining us. He's covered the SEC for almost five decades. Covered LSU first and then Tennessee. He mentioned Spurrier a couple of times. 420, we're joking about the holiday, but today is Steve Spurrier's 77th birthday. I said that correctly. It seems like just yesterday he was the youngest coach in the SEC. 77 years old. Happy birthday, Coach.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back. Tom is up next in New Jersey. Hello, Tom.
Hey, Paul, how you doing? Thank you, for taking my call. It's been a while. Paul, first, I just want to come up with a suggestion as a guest. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but David Moranis, the Pulitzer Prize-winning author that, wrote the Vince
sure.
Lombardi.
Lombardi, yeah. I've read that book. That's a great book.
When Pride Matters, he's coming out this summer with a biography on Jim Thorpe.
Oh, really?
Bright Path. And,
okay.
Yeah, it's I was lucky enough to help him do a little research of Jim Thorpe's time in New Jersey. He spent 2 years here on a outing program at a farm pretty close to where
I live.
No,
he's one of the truly outstanding writers. I've read a number of his books. Just a phenomenal author.
Yeah. He really does his research. And I saw behind you there, you had a Jim Thorpe biography sitting on the shelf there, So I don't know how you guys pick your guests and everything, but
I would love to talk to him. When Pride Still Mattered is one of the great sports books of all time.
Oh, without a doubt. And then, Paul, I just got back 2 weeks ago from the University of Alabama, Coach Saban's high school coaching clinic. And
tell us about it.
Nothing much changed. Yeah, well, there's always that carousel, of the assistant coaches coming in and out, and he may have not gotten the big names of the coaches that have come in as assistants, former NFL guys and stuff, but he's got some great ones. Tre'Varius Robinson that came over from Miami.
Sure.
And Eric Wolford, that was at Kentucky, offensive line coach. And, he played at Kansas State under Bill Snyder, one of our all-time great coaches. And then Joe Cox doing the tight ends. So these guys are really, really good coaches. And Coach Saban said that he looks for two things when he hires an assistant. He looks for a communicator and a motivator. And these guys are definitely that. They're really outstanding coaches. And so he didn't miss a beat in that department again. And the talent, the talent's always there, Paul. I was really impressed with the defensive backs. They're long, and I tell you, they're quick and strong, So you know, I don't think Coach Saban, you know, he's just going to put the pieces in place and give it a shot, you know. So,
Tom, how long have you been in coaching?
Oh, geez, over 40 years.
Wow.
Over 40 years, yeah. And, I graduated high school in 71.
Sure.
And I always meant to tell you this, but my high school coach, Coach Norm Mesereau, his nickname was Buck Mesereau. He played for General Nyland.
Oh, my goodness.
Nyland at Tennessee.
Wow.
And in the mid-40s. And if there's a book out that's a really hard book to get, but it's the I think I don't know if Coach Nyland wrote it or not, but it has pictures in there and my coach is in there. But Paul, the one thing is, you know, I turned 17 my senior year at high school, New Brunswick High School, and when Coach Mesereau was there, he'd always say to me, Tom, he says, Coach Nyland would, you know, do this, do that, do that. But you know, like at that age, you don't realize that who he played under and the lessons he learned, and you just couldn't comprehend him. And I wish I had listened more, you know, or took it in more, because truly one of the legends of the game, you know. But
Tom, having spent 4 years in Knoxville, I heard quite a bit about General Nyland. And I did read, there was a local guy, Bob somebody, I can't remember his last name, he wrote a book about Nyland, and I knew him, and he sent me a book once. But I think he's one of the most underrated coaches, because you really don't know, as people don't know that much about him, because he coached in the 30s, 40s, and into the 50s. And, you know, when I see lists of coaches come out, he's usually left off, and that's... He should be on any top five list of greatest coaches in college football history.
Well, you know what, Paul? If Coach Bryan made a list, he'd be at the top, right?
He would be. I mean,
here's the book right here, Paul. I'm looking at it on my shelf, Football as a War Game by Andy Kozar.
And, well, Andy Kozar played for him, I believe, at Tennessee.
Okay. Yeah, and it's a great book. And you know, I knew that you went to Tennessee, and I always meant to tell you that, you know. And
I'm glad you did.
And Coach Mesereau, yeah, he was a three-time All-SEC player, and he was a big guy, tackle. You know, the hardest ever got hit in high school, and it may sound dramatic, was by him. You know, we were doing two-on-ones, and I kept splitting the two guys, and he told the guys, he said, and this is how you do it. And I tell you honest, Scott, truth, Paul, he hit me with a forearm, and I said, Coach, I said, these are the two guys messing up. Why don't you demonstrate on them? And he said, you know, you got a point there, you know. But I just wish, Paul, I wish I would have, you know, known back then to really, really pick his mind and, you know, get those stories and retain them, you know, about playing for
Hey, Tom, Coach thank you Nyland. So much. Call again. And by the way, for those who are wondering about this Nyland guy, he's, of course, the one on the stadium. 173, 31, and 12 in his career, which began in the late 20s and went to the early 50s. Somebody who I'm sure has great respect for any Tennessee coach is Daryl. Daryl, are you there? You know what? Let's stop for a second, Randy, and just... It luxuriate in this moment that we've all been witness to the single best call from Daryl in history. Randy is up next in Georgia. Hello, Randy.
Yeah. Hey, Paul, how are you doing today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
I just wanted to comment on a call for Monday from Zach from, I believe he's called from Tennessee. On the second minute comment, he said that JT Daniels should be starting at Georgia over Bennett. First of all, JT Daniels is not there anymore. Second of all, Georgia played so well last year because they had one of the best defense in college football. So I think all the Bennett noise needs to
Well, Randy, they had the best defense in college football, and I think that is the single biggest reason why Georgia won last year. We'll try this one more time. Daryl.
Yeah?
You are the next customer. Come on down.
You know, I would bet that
Daryl, here's some advice for you, okay? Quit getting the phone out of the Cracker Jack box and using it to call in the show. Go to Verizon, go to AT&T, go to Best Buy. Where else can you go to get a phone? I don't care.
Please.
But quit using your brother's first phone that he got for high school graduation in 1979. We can't hear you. So you can keep calling, but until you get a phone that we can hear you on, we're going to keep hanging up on you. And I enjoy that. Let's check in with Griffin in Alabama. Hello, Griffin.
Yeah, hi, Paul. I called in yesterday, and I wanted to follow back up with you. You had asked, was it actually a rule that a college had to be within the continental United States to be part of the SEC and in the NCAA? And it is. You know, we were speaking of name, image, likeness, and how to get the, you know, how to make it so that the whole state of Texas, all of their institutions would be ineligible, including Texas A&M. But 20.1.1, general membership is available to four-year colleges and universities that are accredited by one of the regional accrediting agencies and are located in the United States, its territories, or possessions, and athletic conferences.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm no lawyer and I'm no states' rights expert, but, you know, this Texas thing, you know, they kind of went on the Brexit idea where Texas exits the union. Some of their politicians want to do this. Many of them seem to have that sort of mindset. I see where it's a big plus for, you know, for a lot of people would get behind it if they realized that the benefit that, you know, the other benefits that would be able to obtain.
Yeah, well, as of the moment, Texas is still part of the United States of America, correct?
Last I checked.
It could change at any time. Okay, you want to do it one more time? You talk about one last second chance. This is the second last final chance for Daryl from Georgia.
Well, I'm up in the mountains, you know what I mean? I mean, believe it or not, we do have mountains in Georgia. I mean, you know. Paul.
Daryl, I don't care if you're on the moon. This better work or we're hanging up on you.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I would say that a book regarding the success of Tennessee football is probably hard to get. Probably hard to find, too, right?
Right.
Well, I mean, you know, Paul, the reason I called is because the guy that called in the other day, the Billy Napier quarter lizard fan, called me bumping his gums on my Florida. The Napier's going to have Florida where Kirby's at, Georgia at in 3 years. They'll be passed. I mean, what has Billy Napier done? Where's he coached at? Where's he proven himself at? I mean, I know he wasn't under Kirby, Nick Saban for 10 years. You know that? I know that. I mean, I know that Nick Saban did not want Kirby Smart to leave, made him the highest paid assistant in the country now to take the defensive coordinator position when Mark Richt was there. And then Saban had to let him go for a head coaching position because, like Saban said, you know, I mean, somebody's done a great job and open up another opportunity for themselves, then you should be happy for them. But, I mean, to say that, to tell you what that guy needs to do, okay? He needs to go out there, he needs to go on YouTube, and he needs to go listen to the Kirby Smart halftime speech last year of the Florida game. I'm sure you've heard it, right?
Of course.
You know what it reminded me of when I first, I loved it, but you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of a story you once told me off the air about when you were the celebrity head coach of Alabama in the spring game. And you heard all that. I mean, you know, you could tell the story.
I was coaching the spring game in 2010, and Kirby was the head coach. And this is a spring game. This is not the Florida game. And he was just cursing. I've never heard anything like it. And the end of the story was that the guy tapped me on the back of my shoulder, and I looked back, and it was Nick Saban, and he said, "I can assure you, he didn't learn that from me." And it was, I at that moment, I never doubted Kirby Smart would be successful because of the intensity that he had for a spring game with the best team in the country. We're heading to a break. We have already spoken to John Quincy Adams. We'll talk to Jay Billis at the top of the hour. More of your phone calls after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Legend is next.
East Coast, baby. Black hat in the house. What's going on, my friend?
Legend.
Man, I'm so proud of you, dude. You've been wearing that black hat. Ever since I gave you that black hat, you've just been slapping folks down.
I'm proud of it.
Woo! Do that one time with me, brother. Woo!
Woo!
There you go. Everybody in the house, get it one time. Woo! Black hat, baby.
Black hat.
Hey, Paul, I was in prison for 15 years, and one of the ways you survive in prison is you have the ability to read people. Now, I've read The Art of War, and The Art of War, Sun Tzu says that the way to survive in the jungle is know who to mess with and who not to mess with. And let me tell you something. You don't mess with Paul Feinbaum.
I'll shank you.
Woo! Yeah, in the prison yard, baby. If you don't get on me and Handsome Joe will, well, I guarantee you.
I mean, one thing about me going to prison, Legend, I've got some friends already.
Hell yeah, they ain't going to let you go down. The first day I was in prison, I had 20 guys from my home county come and get me and say, "You stay with us." That's the way I survived, brother. I tell you, them rednecks from Walker County was respected in prison. I guarantee
they would be respected anywhere.
Yeah, they couldn't shank you. They'd take a damn baseball bat to you. I guarantee you. But, hey, Paul, one of the things about being in prison, you know, they say in the, you know, I read one time, I was a big reader, they said there's 7 personalities in the world when it comes to people, and one of them is a psycho. There's no help for that person, Paul. There's absolutely no help for that individual. And I can look at a person and tell you who is a psycho and who ain't a psycho. I can listen to a person and tell you who's a psycho and who ain't a psycho. So let me tell you, Daryl is a friggin' psycho.
Yes, he is.
Look at that picture, Paul. That's a serial killer, dude. I'm telling you, I can read people. That dude is a serial killer. I'm telling you, he has a problem. That is a friggin' psycho, Paul. That dude right there is a psycho. He came on here talking about Nick Saban. Kirby Smart would win more championships than Nick Saban by the time he's 70. That is a crazy person. That is a friggin' psycho, Paul. That is a psycho. Let me tell you else. You want me to tell you who else on your show is
psycho?
Yes,
please.
Jim, that's a friggin' psycho. I read him, Paul. That is a friggin' psycho. That dude is a saint one day, a sinner the next. I mean, the dude is a friggin' psycho. And let me tell you, who else is a psycho? Augie. Augie.
Augie's a psycho,
Paul,
huh?
You know the dude's a psycho. Paul, you know and I know There's a few good lawyers in the world, and that's it. The rest of them are the biggest crooks that ever walked this earth, Paul. You know it, and I know it. Lawyers have got more people off that was guilty. Lawyers have got more corporations off that has killed millions of people by poisoning water in the air. Lawyers are the biggest crooks that have ever walked on this earth. And for a dude that's a court reporter to claim he's a lawyer, that's a freaking psycho, Paul. And let me tell you why I know this. I'm a reformed psycho.
Hey, legend, we're about to run out of time, so I don't know if we finished the psycho list or not, but if we didn't, we can continue it later on. Wow. Jay Billis coming up. Now, he's not a psycho.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.